Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans will be in order. Today is Wednesday, May 4th. I would like the record to show that we do have a quorum. We'll start out with the first item on the agenda, Senate File 650, Senator Gazelka. Members, I'd like to have you know that this is a bill that we are familiar with, and we are just moving it as a vehicle bill. I'm seeing here if there's anyone that's in favor of it or against to testify on this. If so, we'll have them come up and join Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm thinking because we're going to use this as a vehicle bill that I'm going to be moving that Senate File 650 be recommended pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee. I'm not sure that there's going to be any testimony, but I believe this passed unanimously last time it was here.
Senator Gazelka moves Senate File 650 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Finance, did you say?
Yep.
All right. Seeing that there is no testimony, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
All right, the next item on the agenda is Senate File 702. Senator Perry, I believe you have an amendment. You have maybe the A1 delete all amendment?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon. I'd like to move the A1 delete all author's amendment.
Everybody have a copy of that? Should be in everybody's folders. This is an author's amendment. Everyone in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay.
The A1 delete all motion passes. Senator Perry, on the bill as amended.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is, as you most of you are well aware, this is the charitable gambling bill, as it's been called. Just a little history here as we get moving ahead about the charitable gambling industry. You know, as we stand right now, we have approximately 1,300 licensed charitable organizations. And out of that, we're looking at about 28% of which are veteran organizations and posts throughout the state of Minnesota. We have, in each of our Senate districts, we have numerous of these. We have youth hockey groups, local fire relief groups. We have wildlife and outdoor groups. And it is something that's here, that's out there. And when we look at it, there's approximately 2,800 charitable gaming sites in the state of Minnesota. And most of them are at those establishments that when we get out of this building, we like to go home to and visit with our neighbors and maybe have a beverage of our choice, our neighborhood bars and fraternal organizations and the legions and the VFWs around the state. In 2004, you might be interested in knowing that there were 3,100 of these locations. So we have seen some declines. And part of that is the reason for this bill. One thing that you might not have known is that we have over 10,000 people that are paid employees that are involved in the conducting of charitable gambling. And this does not include those employees that are paid by the bar owners where you'll find these units. And of course, that would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of another $4,000. So it's something that started back in 1985, and the time has come now for us to take a look, do some reform, tax reform and reductions. It's time for us to take a look at the possibility of some automation as we are moving forward with charitable gambling. So So what I would like to do now, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, is switch gears here, and let's take a look at the bill a little bit closer have one of our testifiers take the reins here and kind of explain it a little bit more in depth. We're going to try to keep it short because I'm not sure what other testifiers we might have for or against, but definitely I'd like to move in that direction at this time.
Thank you, Senator Perry. We do have five people that are currently listed that want to testify, and we're going to start with Mr. King Wilson. If you could state your name for the record and please proceed.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is King Wilson. I'm the executive director of Allied Charities of Minnesota, the trade association that represents charitable gambling organizations in the state of Minnesota. I appreciate the time today to take a look at our bill. Our bill basically does two things, and basically what we do, as Senator Perry says, is we are looking at doing some tax reduction. Currently, charitable gambling has five types of games, and we have three different taxes, and what we're going to take all of those different rates for the different taxes and lower them by 41%. We are also looking at changing the combined receipts tax. That's something that an organization that has multiple sites aggregates things together, and as we're looking at doing these new modernized games, we're hoping that we can look at having the tax be based on a site-by-site basis. We think that's important. By reducing the taxes, we think that we pay an inordinate amount of taxes. When you look at our average of our net, it's roughly 20%. If you actually figured us after expenses, we'd be over 40%, which is roughly 3 to 4 times higher than what the corporate tax rate that for-profit businesses pay. So we'd like to take the opportunity as we modernize our games, and that's the second main element. We would like to take our current games, primarily the bingo and the pull tabs, and modernize them, automate them, bring them into the 21st century so that we can make some changes. You know, I started around this place in 1989, and I remember, many of you might remember this, one of the first cell phones. And in that time, you know, we've now moved on, and we have little things like this, which I think is wonderful. 1985, when we were promoting pull tabs, they looked like this. And today, they look like this. Over the years, we have made some changes. It used to be a $2 denomination was the max that you could do. It's up to $5. Prizes used to be $250, $500, $599. The $5 games have different. We've gotten to the point where I think we've done virtually everything that we can do to the paper pull tab. And what we'd like to do is now bring it into the digital or electronic age. On the back page, they have the sheet like this. On the back page is a diagram. It shows the types of things that we're looking at. In front of me is a device that is a portable device. The first thing I'd like to emphasize is we have no interest of doing something that resembles a slot machine. We want something that allow us, if I had a full box of a deal of games and I was lugging enough stuff around today, it was just too heavy to bring one. 3,000 average count ticket, and what we'd like to do is instead of having that put behind the bar, have it in a booth that a charity has, that we will take that same game, which is a finite game with the same predetermined number of winners. This particular game has 1,800s, 450s, 45s. We'd like to put that on a device like this, where we think electronic pull tabs differs from video lottery or slot machines is those types of devices, it's person playing the machine. We're talking about player playing versus player. And we have a limitation because we're going to limit the number of devices that are permitted. If we have paper pull tabs, if you're in a bar that seats 150 people and there's 100 people there, potentially all 100 could be playing the paper. In the bill that's in front of you, we are limiting a bar up to 200 seating capacity will be allowed to have 6 devices. A bar over 200 would be able to have 12 devices. And for the pull tabs, you are only playing the other players that have the devices. So in some regards, it actually might be a little more limiting than the current thing. One thing I would like to point out during the last few days, I've had a chance to visit with a number of you to try and show you what we're doing. A question that I didn't have the answer to then was, is the frequency and how does an electronic poll tab compare to a paper poll tab? And I know actually this morning we had a meeting with Senator Perry, and afterwards I chatted with Mr. Barrett from the Gambling Control Board and just said, you know, I'm trying to get an answer. I called the company that makes this device, another company that does paper poll tabs that also has an electronic poll tab division. And Tom and I were chatting, and he indicated he thought from what they've been able to gather that actually the play would be slower on an electronic poll tab device. And in talking to both the manufacturers that we've primarily dealt with, and I believe there might be some more that are interested in the market eventually, but they both indicated that is what their experiences are. And part of that is that it's pretty easy to flick one of these. When you get good at it, you can open up, the three windows pop, and you're in. Where on the device, when you tap the screen, depending upon how the rules get structured, you might be tapping 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 if it's a five window. If it's a three window, three. So that's kind of the electronic poll tabs. The electronic linked bingo, similar device. From where you're sitting, you probably can't necessarily tell the difference. But a little bit of different concept. That's been out there for a couple years. Here, what we'd like to do, we currently have bingo in the state. We currently have devices like this that primarily in the bingo halls, but some bars have them. And we have had linked bingo. Unfortunately, the company that's done it went out of business last week. We'd like to make electronic link bingo. The difference being, if you do bingo right now today, other than the link game, if we're at the Fridley VFW, the people there are participating. What we are attempting to do with the electronic linked bingo is maybe there's two or three people playing a device like this, same limitations, six devices under 200 seats, over 200 seats, 12, but there might be two or three people at the Fridley VFW, and then we might have up at a bar in Bemidji a person or two. So maybe there's 20 people playing. Let's say they're playing 12 cards, a quarter apiece. We'd have, like $60 in the kitty. And the prize is going to be roughly 80 to 85% of that. So somebody's going to win, a nice prize. Later in the afternoon, maybe we have 1,000 people playing in different locations throughout the state, $3 each. Somebody might win $2,400. It's going to kind of ebb and flow throughout the day. The most important thing about this bill in modernizing it is it allows us to address a problem that we're seeing. Our sales have declined dramatically over the last 4 years. And as that's happened, the most important thing is the contribution level that we have. If you look on the color chart, we were at $43 million for charitable contributions. If you look on the back side, you will see that is the lowest level we were at since 1985. And if we were to do the electronic versions of our current games, I believe the fiscal note reflects that that it would generate about $120 million for the various groups that do this. 1,300 groups, as Senator Perry said. Veterans are 28%. Firefighter relief is probably the second biggest grouping. But the only commonality we all have is that we are nonprofit tax exempt. And, the VFW gives differently than does the Legion, which is differently than the Lions, which is different than Athletic Boosters. And what's unique about charitable gambling is we occur in virtually every community in the state. And in those communities, there usually are several, three, four, five, six different charities. And because they each give a little differently, by the time you're all said and done, you've done, I think the community is getting a lot of benefit. And we certainly know that at a time when we have the least amount of money to give, we probably right now have more requests than we've ever had. And this would allow us to do more, support more of the programs and projects that these organizations do. With that, that's kind of the quick summary of what the bill does. If we want to get into it or talk about other things, open it up to questions, or the other testifiers. I'm not sure how you'd like to proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. Rather than holding all the questions to the very end, I'd like to allow the opportunity to ask questions along the way. So in that spirit, fellow senators, does anyone have any questions for the testifier at this moment?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, the charitable contributions would be estimated at $120 million. What would the gross receipts be estimated at?
The fiscal note, I believe, showed about $2.4
billion. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Lundeen, could you perhaps share some expertise here?
Yeah, if everybody takes a look at the fiscal note actually is on the House file engrossment, which is basically the same language that we adopted in the amendment earlier. And I think if you go to look at page 3 of the fiscal note, the Gambling Control Board put together some information. If you go down under allocation of proceeds, it says the projected annual increase in net receipts from this bill would be $383 million, and the projected annual increase in lawful purpose expenditures, as Mr. King said, would be $120 million. And the projected annual increase in compensation to the retail sites would be $65 million. And I think if you also look down further, it does reference the $2.4 million revenue under the expenditure and revenue formula on the bottom of page 3.
Actually, billion.
Mr. Chairman, I think he meant to say billion. With a B.
Yes.
Correct. So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lundy, I'm confused. So, Senator Perry's bill increases revenue to the state by $2.5 million. Is that the figure as opposed to receipts for the charitable gambling?
Mr. Lundy.
You're asking about the – could you repeat the question?
What are the additional tax receipts – to the state as a consequence of this?
I think Mr. if Lundy. You look at the first page of the fiscal note under revenues, and it talks about to the general fund, there's a loss in fiscal year 12, but then starting in fiscal year 13, there would be $2.3 million
okay.
to the general fund.
2.1.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
There's another fiscal note, I'm not sure, from revenue that talks about a potential loss. It's got the general fund. Well, I'm seeing, okay, it says, however, if activity stayed at current levels, reduced tax rates would result in a loss of about $20 million per year. I don't know, is there anybody from revenue who's going to, Mr. Chairman, is going to testify to that, or?
Senator Cohen, no, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, it's
here.
But Senator, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Cohen, I believe there is somebody from revenue here. If they would want to address that. I thought I saw him. Maybe not. Okay. I guess not. Oh.
Remember, it's got the fiscal note. It's kind of a moving thing. We wanted to see it, and we made some adjustments.
Mr. Chairman, and I would like, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just, I think it was this morning or yet late last night, received this fiscal note, and I do know that there's some movement that we'll keep an eye on here. But,
if you could please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Pat Finnegan. I'm an attorney in the Revenue Department. All I have is a two-page preliminary analysis that our research division made. And it shows for fiscal year 2012, there would be an $800,000 loss. And then for fiscal year 2013, there would be $2.3 million gain. And that would continue for the next three fiscal years.
Well, and Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Finnegan, I see that. I'm also looking at the line that says, however, if activity stayed at current levels, the reduced tax rates would result in a loss of about $20 million per year. Do you know anything about that?
Mr. Chair, Senator.
Mr. Finnegan.
My understanding of that is that our research people talked to the Gambling Control Board since they really had no background as far as these electronic games. And so they tried to factor in, you know, what the activity on these games would result in, so that's what the comment addresses, I believe.
And then, Senator Cohen. Mr. Chairman, as long as we're on the fiscal aspects of this, let me ask the author, Mr. Chairman, Senator Perry, at least in terms of our accounting for this session, if this bill passes off the floor, would you then bring that into your conference committee in terms of where you'd be in terms of accounting for the conference committee? The $2.3 million?
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Cohen, at this time I had not had plans for that.
Sir, did you want to speak in support of the bill or in relation to some of these comments that we have right now? If you could state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Glenn Cleveland. I work for the Minnesota Department of Revenue. I'm the current supervisor in the lawful gambling tax unit. I'm certainly not the expert that prepared the fiscal notes, but I believe we're looking at two different situations. If the entire bill passes as it is now, with the projected additional increase in gambling from the electronic forms, the state ends up netting out positive tax dollars. I believe the one place where it references the $20 million loss is if the electronic forms aren't adopted, but the tax decrease in the bill is adopted, that 41% will roughly equate the $20 million loss in tax revenue. Currently for fiscal 10, the last year I had numbers for, the tax revenue off of lawful gambling is about $35 million. So I think that's where those two numbers are coming from, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that clarification.
Can I get you to sign this?
Sure.
Members, do we have any other questions for Mr. Wilson before we proceed? Seeing none,
Mr. Chair?
Senator Wieger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Wilson, in your testimony, you mentioned that passage of this would help the viability of several clubs, organizations that are on the brink of closing. Could you expand more with any specific estimates?
Mr. Chair, Senator Wieger.
Mr. Wilson.
Quite frankly, charitable gambling is at a crossroads today. If you look at the numbers, if you were a business person, the loss that we've seen over the last half a dozen years for a whole host of reasons is made many more organizations we've cut back expenses. We've done major shifts. You know, a booth that in a bar that would used to be open from noon till midnight, you now say, you know, from noon to 3, maybe we just can't justify that person. It's kind of a catch-22 because if you close from noon to 3, you lose some sales that existed then. And as Senator Perry said, you know, at one point we were 3,100 locations. We're down to 2,800. And that's a trend that's it seems like at least one termination per week for the last couple years, which is not healthy. I think what's really unfortunate and if what we're seeing for the first time is there are some sites that when a charity pulls out, 10 years ago, if a site opened up, another charity would step in its place. And there are bars out there that just can make money, not make a lot of money, but as the number of organizations have shrunk, those that have gone in there now jump from a small bracket as far as a small charity to a bigger one and higher tax bracket. And at some point, as we've now had this business economic model change, groups have said, you know, this site, we used to make some money, but not a lot. We just can't make any money there anymore. So they pull out, and today we don't have other groups stepping in. We think if we can do some of these tax changes, and I would like to make it very clear, we have no intent to end up just having the tax relief go through so that it's going to cost $20 million because we know what the prospects of that would be, and it would not be very good. But if we can lower our tax rates, as the bill is suggesting, if we can make them on a site-by-site instead of aggregate, I think many of these sites that we used to be in are now going to become economically viable again. And I think that's good for our bar owner and hospitality industry, and I think they'll be stepping up to the table in a little bit. But if you don't have a charity and you're kind of at a competitive disadvantage with somebody down the street if you can't find somebody to come in there. And we just think that having these new options available to us, that that's going to make some of those sites viable and we can get back to where we were. The last thing I'll say just on the tax issue, understand on the taxes, as Senator Perry saw, we just saw the fiscal note and, you know, it's kind of been a work in progress. I think one of the reasons it's taken so long is even those that in the business the Gambling Control Board, revenue ourselves, as we tried to figure it out, our charitable gambling taxes is a very convoluted, complicated system. And I think we're all coming to the realization, maybe while we're looking at the modernization, maybe now's the time to look at maybe going to a simple flat-type tax, the same tax on everything across the board. As I prepared some of my numbers, I spent 3.5 hours one night working through the system, how I thought it was going to work, and I got to the end and said, what if we had a simple flat tax, and it took me 3 minutes to figure 10%, 9%, how much that's going to bring to the state. So I think if the bill moves forward, I think taxes are our next stop. I think Revenue Control Board and ourselves would like to sit down and maybe come up with something that works a little easier. But we'd really like to get some of those sites back. We'd like to get our revenues back. We're going down, and I think this will allow us to do that in a positive way.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Perry, on page 5, section 13, you propose to delete some language that I'm curious about. I don't know if you could explain. In the current language, there are some limitations about the numbers of devices that are permitted, and that language is completely taken out. Does that mean that now we're going to have an open door for unlimited number of pull tab dispensing devices?
Council?
Mr. Chair, Senator Torres Ray, those provisions have been moved to section 27.
Okay.
Page 12.
So the numbers are just simply increasing. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'm just kind of trying. I was trying to figure out where that language was, but I don't have the correct bill. So I'm just looking at the increase in numbers now of different devices. Thank you. I'll read to it. Thanks.
I'd like to get further testimony. If perhaps Mr. McCarthy is here, good approach. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, sir. If you could please state your name for the record and proceed.
Yes, my name is John McCarthy. Mr. Chairman, my name is John McCarthy. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. First, I'd like to assure the committee that our association supports the charities and that the work that they do. We understand that the revenues generated by bingo and pull tab operations run by charities support a lot of very worthy causes. We understand the importance of this revenue to American Legion Post, VFW organizations. With the economic slump over the past several years, we are well aware of the concerns that the proposal is trying to address. While we are supportive of the traditional pull tab and bingo operations, we do have some concerns with the method that is being proposed to update or modernize these games, and the potential that the process could lead to in a huge expansion of gambling. We feel that the legislation as it is presently drafted does not offer adequate detail regarding the type of games allowed on the electronic devices. We also understand bingo and pull tabs, and these games are currently being played by charities. Our concern lies in the changes that are being proposed. Terms like modernize lead us to believe that these games are the same as the games that we all know. But in fact, the devices that are being proposed have the potential of presenting these games in what we all understand as slot machines. The devices are, particularly in their proposal, which is presented here, they're not being portrayed as slot machines, but with a very simple alteration, they would and could be full-blown slot machines. Our association would like to work with the authors and the charities to include specific language that deals with the enforcement of the proposed devices. We would like the opportunity to address some of our concerns, like the discount number, distinct number of plays, specific number of prizes, etc. So for that purpose, we're not necessarily opposing the bill. We would just like an opportunity to work with the authors. We've spoken with Mr. Wilson and are going to attempt to do that here in the very near future.
Thank you very much, Mr. McCarthy. Members, any questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next person who'd like to testify. If Mr. Gene Lindahl is here, you could approach the table. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, some of us like to call him Coach.
All right.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Senators, thank you for giving me an opportunity to come here and speak to you and hopefully pass this bill. My name is Gene Lindahl. I'm with the American Legion Post in Morristown, Minnesota. We need to get back to what we used to do quite well, and that was donate money. Our donations have dwindled dramatically. We support and operate our Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Our money goes to our local schools and churches. I can think of several other opportunities that we donate, such as the Minnesota Veterans Home. But you can go on and on with that list of places that we donate. A typical donation that we used to make would be a $300 donation has been down to $100. So obviously those sites or places that we used to donate to, they're getting less money, and they have to go elsewhere to get the money that they needed to operate on. So if you could help us, we could help those people a lot more than what we're currently doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Any questions? All right, moving on. We'll go to... Okay. Anyone who would like to provide further testimony?
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for joining us, sir. If you could state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Stan Kowalski. I'm the past state commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars and also a current member of the American Legion. I come here today to just kind of clarify a few things. I'm not against anything that's being put out here, but I have a little bit of trouble understanding why people don't know that the veterans that are being affected by the losses of money are those that made it possible for all of us to be in this room today. It behooves us to take care of them, and the only way we can take care of them is by having money that we can raise, and the only way we can raise it is through charitable gambling. So what I'd like you to consider, and I know this is not part of the agenda thing, but I'd like to suggest maybe you look at one slot machine for every so many chairs in a VFW and American Legion. The taxes that would come in would help the VFW and Legion support their veterans. It would also give a great amount of money to the state to help them with their problems. I think we owe it to those guys and gals now who have put their lives on the line to make sure that we have been able to sit here today and discuss this the way we are. I'm not waving a flag. I'm just telling you the way veterans feel. It's up to you people to make sure that those veterans that need our help are taken care of. And it's not taken care of. And I'm going to say something that might not sit well, but I guess I belong in free speech. If the Indians are an independent nation, why are they dictating to us what we can do in our state and our country? If they're wards of the state, then they're supposed to subcede to what we decide for them. So they can't have it both ways, and right now they got it both ways, and they're fighting to keep us from getting any other kind of gambling going. I've got nothing against the Indians. They were here before all of us. But the same token goes. The money that they're raking in is not coming to help veterans and help our state. So I'm asking you to think twice about how we take a tax on this stuff and allowing maybe the VFW and Legions to have slot machines. I'm not talking against the Racino either, but I'm saying slot machines are a way to bring money into this place. They're doing it all over the country. I've heard of five more states that have gone to going to slot machines because the money is there to help the state government and help veterans. And if you don't help veterans now, God help us when we have to call on our young to come up and we can't say, hey, we took care of you when. Why don't you take care of us now? And that's not waving a flag. That's stating a fact, people. And thank you much for listening.
Mr. Kowalski.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
I would like to make one comment as Mr. Kowalski goes back. I remember this gentleman when I was 10 years old. He probably doesn't even remember me, but I used to sell his pictures when he used to go around to the armories and wrestle, and you were truly one of my... I'm so excited. I've got goosebumps, and I'm being honest with you. To have him sit beside me, I remember this guy when I was such a young kid, and you talk about entertainment. There's a man that showed us how to do it, and Senator Wigger probably remembers as well. But thank you, sir, for being here today.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Kowarski, thank you for your service to the country. Thank you all of the veterans that are in the room today and all that have served us so well over all these years. And perhaps Mr. Kowarski could talk to this, or perhaps there's someone else in the room that could. Our veterans groups, our VFWs, American Legions, I'm curious how many there are in the state, and what is the health of the organizations in the state of Minnesota, our veterans organizations, and what impact would this proposed legislation have on those organizations?
Bless.
Mr. Lindell.
Thank you. I can only speak for the American Legion Post in Morristown, but we're drastically going downhill rapidly. And I know I can speak for a friend of mine who lives in Baudette, a member of the American Legion Post there and the VFW Post were going to merge because they couldn't keep operating. I think that's true maybe all the way across the state, that the American Legion Posts, their revenues have gone down. They're having a hard time keeping the doors open. They're being forced to merge with other posts like that, and I'm not sure until we get something changed that we can get more finances in there that it's going to get any better.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perry.
Yeah,
I can add to what he said there. 26.
Mr. Kowalski.
Mr. Kowalski.
We'd have to have you come over this way.
If you could approach the table, please, sir.
But you're still as tough as ever, sir.
As my wife.
Mr. Kowalski.
Mr. Chairman, over 26 VFWs have closed in the last year because they did not have enough revenue to keep going. When we lose VFW posts, we lose support for the community, for the state, and for all our veterans. So it behooves us, like I keep repeating, and I've said it time and time again, and I'll keep doing it until I can't talk anymore. We have to support the veterans, and the only way we can do it is by allowing the veterans organizations to expand a little bit in gambling. The state is definitely going to benefit from it, but we will benefit by allowing our posts to stay open. Because in the last 2 years, my post alone has lost over $60,000. We keep draining the little bit that we have, and we too will be out of business. And we support our schools, and we support veterans, and we support other things that are charitable okays for us. So what I'm asking is, again, and I'm going back to the same thing, let's give us a couple of slot machines in each, and you're going to benefit by it. Because the split can be the same thing as pull tabs. And you can monitor them because I know they monitor them in Vegas. They got a machine there that counts every quarter that goes in. So the state is going to get a nice chunk, and the veterans will have money to take care of our own. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perry.
Again, a couple of items here. First of all, you realize we're talking about this, and I'm sure all the committee members realize this is we're talking about electronic poll tabs. And
not slot machines.
Correct. Though many of us wouldn't mind if that happened, but I'm just saying this is what we're talking about. They're electronic poll tabs. But to answer Senator Lilly's question just a little bit, and I know you want to keep moving on with testifiers, but Senator Lilly, if you were to grab the May 2011 Legionnaire magazine, the Legions and the VFWs are not my dad's Legion and VFWs any longer. Though the members, the elders are there, we have young soldiers coming back, like Senator Ted Daley here. They're in tune to these things, more so than when I used to sit with my dad and we did the pop them open to see who could pop the three open or pull the things. What we're doing here is updating something that's already in existence. Along with this bill, we're also redefining some of the tax issues within there. So I just wanted to clarify that a little bit and give Senator Lilly a little bit more. And for the Legion members here, and they probably enjoyed reading that article. But all in all, thank you for your indulgence.
Senator Perry. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And certainly I want to listen to all the testimony. I said coming into this that I was leaning against this as well as all the different gambling issues, but it certainly is an anti-veterans perspective. My wonderment is if there's a different model that we need for the VFW or for the American Legion. I know I talked to some of the folks up in my area, and they said more and more the younger generation really they don't want to come into a bar setting with their family. They would rather have that in the back where it's more of a community, maybe a different model. And so, you know, this is going down, you know, but I don't know that gambling is necessarily the answer to save these great organizations. And so I'm here to listen, but at the same time, I think there's more to this.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Senators. My name is Sean Donahue. I am the gambling manager of the Spring Lake Park Lions. We're one of the largest charities as far as gambling organizations in the state, and I just wanted to let you know how this affects our club. We're not a veterans. We're not a youth program that supports just the youth in our community. We support a whole vast array of programs. And our club and the clubs in our area are very excited about this bill. The tax savings alone will go to help every program in our community because we do have Legions, we have VFWs, we have Lions groups, we have hockey groups. And I just got a short list here. One of the organizations that we support is the Alexander House. That's a shelter for battered women in Anoka County. Lee Carlson Center. This is a organization that helps families that have lost a job, lost a family member, hit hard times. They'll provide them food, rent money, maybe a car if they have it, whatever they can do to help these families. Another organization is Free to Be. They refurbish donated cars to them and donate them out to needy people in the Anoka County area. One of their stipulations is these needy people must have be employed or shortly employed within a two-week span. We support two scholarship programs for two different high schools in our area. We have a Christmas basket program where we donate out approximately 100. And that number is down from over 125. And these are valued at $70, and they just go to the needy people in the immediate area of Spring Lake Park, Fridley, and Blaine. We have an eyeglass project at our school where the kids, the less fortunate kids that can't afford eyeglasses, we send them to a doctor and he sends us the bill, no questions asked. Now this child has glasses, he can see the blackboard, do better on his homework. And one other program we have set up with a local grocer is if somebody needs groceries for whatever reason, they can't afford them, we will pick up the tab for their groceries if they are in need. These are the types of programs in our area that will benefit from this. It won't be the Lions Club specifically. It'll be all these people that we donate our money to. We're also excited about the other half of this bill, the bringing the electronic, the pull tabs and bingo into the electronic age. I have customers all over I've talked to for the past year, and they're all excited about it. I explain it to them, and I've been doing this for a year. I have not had one customer that has had one negative thing to say about it. They're all excited about it. We've even brought these machines out to some of our locations just to have a meeting with King Wilson and the manufacturer, and he explained it to some gambling managers, customers, and everybody seems to be excited about it. And as stated earlier, this bill will reopen some smaller organizations and some smaller sites, and we have both of those in our community. And I'd just like to leave you with one final note. If this bill was enacted last year, our club would have been able to donate an additional $200,000 to these organizations that I've just listed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Donahue. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Next testifier. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
I'm Lori Gleasing from Klein Theater. I'm the gambling manager, and we support this bill, and we're asking you to as well. When the state of Minnesota passed the charitable gambling back in 85, it was so that the charities could raise money to help organizations or other charities. But it seems like the state of Minnesota is the biggest beneficiary of the taxes right now. I'm sure that if you understand some of the stuff I'm about to tell you, you'll see that these taxes are unconscionable. Klein is only one of about 1,300 charities, but I know Klein, so I will talk about Klein. We're a little bit different than a lot of the other charities. We're not really linked to one community. We travel to every Senate district in the state to the schools and perform and teach on what the catchword is now, character education. Their number one is anti-bullying. They do meth prevention, environmental and recycling. They do self-control, respect of others, how to be a friend. And they're all geared to the age groups that they're reaching. I mean, if we went and saw the ones for the kindergarten through second grade, they are definitely geared to kindergarten through second grade. Typically we perform and teach for over 200,000 kids every year in Minnesota. We go to your communities, and we do your communities good. They've independent study has shown that the bullying plays reduce bullying where they've been performed. But Klein's existence is being threatened by the taxes that we're paying. We used to give more money to other organizations and functions, which we cannot do anymore. As King mentioned earlier, the for-profit businesses pay 9.8% taxes after expenses. Last year, Klein, a charity, paid 34% tax before expenses. We do have a lot of sites. We are way up there in the combined receipts. We tend to get into it in month two or three. But I don't know how this kind of taxing can be considered even fair. I mean, we're not saying we shouldn't pay taxes. We've never said that. We know we need to pay taxes. But it would be nice to have it be a little more equitable. Last year, I mean, I don't know if you know of any for-profit businesses that paid five times more in taxes than they made at the end of the year. Last year, Klein had $100,000 to help support their traveling theater, and we paid the state over $500,000 in taxes. We need help so that we can give more to your children. This bill is proposing a method of increasing sales through electrifying and becoming electrifying, and then offer a way to offset the tax reform that we're suggesting. And it may even make the state more money. Please support this bill. move it on, let it get to the tax committee where the details of which type of tax can get ironed out at what percent. But you have to approve it first. And take note, this is not an expansion of gambling. It is taking the bingo and the pull tabs that we've always done and putting them onto electronic machines. Charities need to pay a lesser percent in taxes so that we can have a larger amount of money to fund the charities in your communities. And I know I've heard that many in the legislature know that something has to be done to help charitable gambling, but they don't know what. Well, I can answer that. Support this bill.
Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Members, any questions? Next, we'll have Tribal Council President Victoria Winfrey. If you could approach the table, please. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Victoria Winfrey, President of the Prairie Island Indian Community Tribal Council. The Prairie Island Indian Community owns and operates Treasure Island Resort and Casino, which is located just north of Red Wing. We are the largest employer in Goodhue County, employing more than 1,700 tribal and non-tribal team members. Our community, like other tribes in Minnesota, is a strong supporter of Minnesota charities. And I'd like to give you an example of that. With the Minnesota Wild, we have donated for the last several years over $100,000 for unprivileged children that can't afford to play hockey. They sell programs there. We match that. Plus, we give scholarships to those that can't afford to play so they can get their equipment and fees paid. And we also give to outreach programs so they can send they have programs for underprivileged youth. And we also send disabled or children to camps every summer. So we do support as many charities as we can. And while we continue to support charitable gambling, we do oppose the significant expansion of gambling proposed by Senate File 702 and the addition of electronic link bingo games and electronic pull tab devices. We're concerned that the Senate File 702 does not specify what type of electronic devices will be used, stationary cabinets or handheld devices. And even though Senate File 702 restricts the use of the electronic devices to pull tab and bingo games only, the machines that would be used, whether handheld or standalone, and we have pictures of both of them there up here in front of me, can be easily converted to add other games like poker, blackjack, keno, or simulated slots. In fact, just last week, the South Dakota Lottery Commission approved new so-called lineup games for its video lottery terminals that more closely resemble video slot machine games. Senate File 702 opens that same door to future expansion here in Minnesota. How many electronic pull tab and bingo devices will there be in Minnesota if this bill is approved? What is a fair estimate? Currently, there are about 2,800 charitable gambling sites in Minnesota. The bill authorizes 6 or 12 of each of these devices per site, depending upon the number of seats. If each of the 2,800 sites were to get 6 of the electronic pull tab devices and 6 of the electronic bingo devices, then there will be 33,600 new gaming devices in Minnesota. That is a huge expansion of gaming. What about further expansion next year or the year after that when additional revenues are needed? Maybe the number of licensed sites will increase to 3,000 or 4,000. Maybe the number of machines will be increased. For example, in South Dakota, since video lottery machines were first licensed in 1990, the number of establishments offering video lottery has more than doubled, with nearly four times the number of video lottery terminals 20 years later. We're concerned that Senate File 702 starts Minnesota down that same slippery slope. South Dakota's video lottery with just 1,400 establishments and 9,100 video lottery machines has changed the state's landscape dramatically. Add on mini casinos at convenience stores and restaurants now that dot its main streets and highways. Is that what we want for Minnesota? Does the Gambling Control Board have the resources to regulate and monitor 33,600 or more new machines? Or will it lead to a regulatory and enforcement nightmare that requires even more staff, more regulators, more government, more funding? How much will it realistically cost the state to license and regulate this huge gaming expansion? The Prairie Island Indian community and other tribal communities around Minnesota have worked very hard to establish and grow gaming operations that not only benefit our members, but the surrounding communities and the state as a whole. The collective compact of tribal gaming and tribal investment in rural Minnesota is a $2.75 billion in economic activity, more than 41,000 jobs, and nearly $1.35 million in family income, with an annual payroll of nearly $45 million. Prairie Island's casino and other enterprises account for 8% of Goodhue County's employment, while purchasing more than $38 million in goods and services for Minnesota companies. In fact, we recently held our annual Vendor Appreciation Day, at which more than 400 local Minnesota business leaders came together to celebrate our partnerships. Minnesota currently has a mature gaming market. Senate File 702 will not increase the number of people who gamble in the state. It will simply give those who do game more options and erode good-paying jobs at tribal casinos that are primarily located in rural settings. Expanding gaming in Minnesota at the expense of tribal communities and rural Minnesota is a bad public policy. We encourage lawmakers to consider the thousands of Minnesotans employed by tribal gaming, as well as those individuals in Minnesota's in businesses in rural Minnesota that rely on our partnership. In conclusion, while we do oppose the bill in its current form, because we believe it will lead to the further expansion of gaming in Minnesota, we also understand that this bill is a bit of a work in progress. Frankly, that uncertainty is part of our overall concern with the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure what your name was.
Victoria Winfrey.
Thank you. I do have a question about has the total number of slot machines in the Indian casinos been increasing over the last 5 years? Because you're talking about increase in another side, but I need to know where it has been on your side of the issue.
Ours has not increased. We have kept it at, I believe, 2,500.
Mr. Chair, follow-up. So is that for...
Mr. Gazelka.
Is that just for the one casino? I mean, what is the... I'm talking about across the board, and maybe you don't know that, but...
I don't know about other casinos, but ours have always relatively been the same amount.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please approach the table and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Colin Meinhardt. I live in Albert Lea, Minnesota. I'm a small business owner. I own the Main Street Bar and Grill in Alden, Minnesota, town of 620 people on Interstate 90. I live about 15 miles from what I call the Hungry Joe's Casino in northern Iowa, because they're hungry for Minnesota dollars. So we're tough to compete there. So I am a Minnesota bar owner. I'm a fourth generation in this business, not in the same location, but goes deep. The roots are deep in my family. And we're very concerned about keeping our business very viable and keeping it alive. Over the last year, I believe we've had over 250, 300 bars just close in Minnesota. So as a bar owner over the years, we've always been fighting tax increases, change in the BAC, the blood alcohol content, smoking bans. We've just had negativity coming at us all the time. We need to be able to create more patronage in our places. I believe this bill will help the bars and restaurants throughout the state of Minnesota to help create some patronage, to bring some folks back. And we're trying to bring some young people into our businesses, just as we suffer, just as the clubs do, the Legions, the VFWs. We're all looking for more patronage, people to come and participate with us. And today, young people have electronic devices, and that's what they've been brought up with, and I think that's what they want. So as a small business owner, and I'm also a member of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, we'd like to ask you to support this bill because the charities do need tax reductions, and we need more people coming into our establishments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else that would like to testify?
Can I sum up?
Yep.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I just would like to go back a little bit. Earlier, Mr. McCarthy from MIGA was here, and he talked about the devices being able to be flipped to be slot machines. I guarantee you that is not our intent. He expressed that he expressed that they were at this point not opposing the bill. I also understand that they're not supporting the bill, but that they were looking forward to working with folks that were interested in this proposal. We are more than happy and wanting to sit down with them. Actually, I believe we have a meeting scheduled for later in the week to address some of their concerns and hopefully come up with some what they think is better language. We did write some language. I think if you look on 5.4, 5.5, and 5.6, it does say electronic game devices authorized under this chapter may be used only in the conduct of lawful gambling, permitted under this chapter, and may not display or simulate any other forms of gambling or entertainment. Up front, we wanted to make it very clear that we did not, again, as I said earlier, want to have these be slot machines. What we want them to do is to be able to modernize or automate our current games, but we look forward to working with them as we go forward and hopefully coming up with some language that can work for both of us. The last point I'd like to make is, I said, people have decisions, and, there are people that really like to play paper pull tabs, just as though there are people that like to read books. I got this for Christmas, and I'll be honest, I didn't open it till this morning. So far, I've stuck to reading books the way I know books. I'm kind of old-fashioned. But people should have choices. And, we are better off, where people can make the decision to do one way or the other. And that is basically what we would like to attempt to do, is take our current game, bingo, and pull tabs, and bring it into the 21st century by doing these devices. And we'd like to have the bill move forward. We appreciate your support. We look forward to working with the MIGA folks so that we can attempt to come up with something that will give them the comfort so that they know that what our intent is exactly that, and is not to allow them to be slot machines.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Barrett, I believe you're somewhere in that. Could you approach and share some of your thoughts on this, if you could, please?
Are we stalling?
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. My name is Tom Barrett. I'm director of the Gambling Control Board. I need to probably say up front, we're neutral on what's happening, make that clear. But in the same token, obviously, we've had an opportunity to understand what's happening with the industry. In 2009, the legislature said, Gambling Control Board, take a look at what's going on in light of the smoking ban, the economy, the declining receipts. And we did a study, and we took a look at what was happening, what were some of the issues. Tax reform was one of the number one issues. But there were a whole cast of other things that came up in the study and working with legislators. Some of them aren't here anymore, but there's a number of things that were addressed in that study that focused on the issues facing charitable gaming. One of those issues dealt with automation and the fact that whether it's the old cell phone that if you brought it out today, anybody would laugh at you for having it. But I think the focus is to try to find, mindful of what else is out there, be mindful of what's available and how it would affect the industry. The board, and I know Senator Perry in particular, when a recent article came out in the Star Tribune about how little gets to the bottom line, and he called me in and it was pretty much, Tom, what can we do to improve that? Now, again, being neutral, but the board does see opportunity in terms of regulatory oversight as it relates to automation and reporting, keeping track of some of those games, the ease of reporting month-end sales and activities. Those are some of the things that we feel a little confident with the opportunity to automate. It would help the charities. We'd be able to keep a better eye on things, frankly. But it would be looked upon as an opportunity for cost savings, which any savings could hopefully get to the bottom line. So obviously neutral. We're going to continue on, whether it's paper or electronic. But we've had opportunities to work with vendors, look at the products. The focus is to simply take the paper version, make it electronic. That's all part of the particulars that we did look in the bill. So,
thank you very much. Senator Perry.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate File 702 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we vote, I wanted to make sure that I express my opposition to this bill. And I would like to make sure that the veterans who are here and the people who work in charitable organizations actually know why. And to me, this is not a difficult vote. What is difficult for me is to hear your testimony and for me to hear that you need the funding for your organizations. And what I would like to promise you is that I will do whatever it takes to resolve the issues that are affecting you and your family, and that I am willing to author a bill in whatever shape, form you want it to get the funding to resolve the problems for you and your family anytime. My door is open today, tomorrow, but not with gambling. I don't believe in it. I don't believe that we in Minnesota should expand gambling in order to resolve very, very, very tough issues that are affecting your families. And one of the reasons for why I cannot support this is because most of this industry is taking money away from very vulnerable people, people who are low income. A recent study that was done, and I can share that information with all of you, basically showed that disadvantaged groups, people who are poor, who are not educated, people who have significant psychological problems are often engaging in gambling and develop problems. These studies also show that these groups, although they don't, you know, use a lot of money because they don't have it, in proportion they use a lot of the little money that they have. And so to me, to hear today people coming to say, you know, we need to increase our charity because we need to expand the work that we do for veterans who need this. Low-income children, low-income families just don't go together. I cannot approve the expansion of gambling in the state of Minnesota, and that is the reason. So to the veterans in the room and to others, I just want you to know that there are many, many, many other ways that we can work on and could, you know, I am open to work with you to resolve these issues that are affecting your families. And I very honestly offer that opportunity, but I don't believe that this is the right thing to do. So I just wanted you to know the reason for why I will never support this. It's not you. It's not the problems that are affecting your families. It's how we go about this by using this mechanism. I cannot approve it.
Senator Lilly.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Torres-Ray, while I agree with some of what you have said, some of it I am challenged by. And in this time of limited government, where we are working hard to protect families, protect businesses, protect jobs, the size of our government is being limited. And we need to find ways to make sure that our community can support itself, including our churches, including our civic groups, and all of those who serve our communities. You know, this is a time where our VFWs, our American Legions, our Lions Clubs are struggling for their survival. And these are good people doing great things in our community, and we need to make sure that they are supported. I do not agree that this is an expansion of gambling. I see this as a continuation of something that is already existing. I also believe that this is a jobs bill, because this is a situation where some of our folks that are working in the community at these establishments, their positions are being limited by the future survival of these organizations. So to me, this is also a jobs bill. We need to ensure that these organizations are able to continue to contribute to the community that they serve. And I will support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Lilly. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lilly just said everything I wanted to say. Thank you, Senator Lilly.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Weir.
I support the proposal. There's strong support by the service clubs and organizations in my district, and I believe throughout most of Minnesota. I am very concerned about any expansion of gambling, but I think the case has been made that this is not an expansion. It's more a reflection on the use of technology. I have seen the operators of these programs, have talked to them. A number of people have offered that support. And then also to reiterate what Senator Lilly said about the many programs that are supported in the community, the clubs that need some revenue source in order to continue to be in operation. Many of the VFW Legion posts are closing, and we should be able to provide this type of assistance. I don't see it as an expansion and would support the proposal.
Thank you, Senator Weir. Senator Perry moves to that Senate File 702, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda will be File 1116, Senator Ingebrigtsen. Senator Ingebrigtsen, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to bring forward the Senate File 1116. I guess we're gambling day today in the Senate, and we're wheeling in the portable unit. Now, I'll tell you that, members, it's going to be a little tougher to be able to grab this one at the door and walk to your booth, but nevertheless, we're going to have somebody here to explain exactly what this is all about. Members, this bill is pretty straightforward. It's not expanding, if you will, the gaming in the state of Minnesota. It's simply making the electronic, or allowing the bars and the taverns in the state of Minnesota to be able to have electronic pull tabs and pull tabs only. That's all it is. It still, as the bill says, allows taverns to have up to no more than five of these machines. And at the same time, taking into consideration the social aspects of pull tab activity, I understand that is a social activity. Something that, quite frankly, I never experienced that often, but I guess I do appreciate the fact that other people have. They're able to still continue with paper pull tabs if they so choose. In other words, we're not going to be forcing this on anybody in the tavern business that has paper pull tabs. Strictly optional. Before I get any further, if I could, Mr. Chair, I do have the A3 amendment I would like to offer at this time, and it is regards to dispersing of the dollars in a different fashion than what the statute reads.
Senator Daley will move that A3 amendment for you. On the A3 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do have some folks with me here today, but let me address the amendment real quickly if I can. Now, you have in your packets a fiscal note that tells you exactly, well, within, not exactly, I guess there's no exact science to this in the fiscal note world, but what it does is if you will look on the front page and under the revenue part, you will see the entities in state government that get the proceeds from this particular statute. And what this amendment does, as you can see, it's pretty straightforward. It basically takes dollars, 50% of the projected additional revenues that electronic gaming will produce, and actually put it towards other entities. And they're listed on the amendment, starting on 1.5. 50% is provided under this section, with 16.6% going to nursing homes, 16.6% to early childhood education, and 16.6% to job programs for disabled veterans. So that's the amendment, pretty straightforward. And the reason I did that, and after a lot of thought and deliberation, if you'll notice the areas that are receiving dollars now through the gambling, those particular areas are funded, as we know, through the heritage money as well as general fund dollars. So, members, I think it's a good choice for us to be able to put these gambling dollars in areas that are certainly needed. I don't have to talk about the veterans. You've talked about that an awful lot here today, and what they have done for our country, and how this will be one more way that we can show our appreciation to those that
Senator
are coming
Senator Ingebrigtsen, excuse me. Could I get one of the sergeants to shut the door back there? It's getting pretty noisy in here. Thank you. Excuse me, Senator.
Thank you. And with that, if they have any questions on the amendment, I could certainly do the questions now, or we can hold them. And with me I have Mr. Dan Campo from the Minnesota Tavern League, as well as Ken Rockler from the Minnesota Taverns League, to explain the bill a little bit further, something that they've been working on for quite some time. So I'll turn it over to Ken.
Please state your name and proceed.
Chairman Perry, members of the committee, my name is Ken Rockler. I reside in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm the executive director of the Tavern League of Minnesota, and I'm also here representing the Bowling Proprietors Association. I feel I'm here on behalf of 3,000 businesses, the communities that they're located in, and the charities that are in the 3,000 sites. There are and have been many gambling proposals brought forth this session. Two of them accomplished the following: Senator Ingebrigtsen's Bill 1116 and Senate File 174, which I believe has been pulled at this point, Senator Fischbach's bill. They will help 3,000 small businesses survive and prosper, create or retain approximately 20,000 jobs in addition to construction and remodeling in these businesses and communities, provide the most money for hard-pressed charities. I may have to amend that statement. I had not seen a fiscal note on the prior bill and just heard the testimony, but up until then, I thought that this bill provided more money for charities. And it provides quite a bit of money to the state, as you can tell by looking at the fiscal note. In addition to the fiscal note, there will be income tax paid by the businesses and employees of the 3,000 businesses. The majority of the 3,000 businesses pay real estate taxes. Some of the fraternal organizations, such as the VFWs and Legions, do not. In these businesses, 100% of the sales tax stays with the state, unlike the current situation with the casinos, where 75% is rebated back every 90 days. I think maybe most importantly, it provides an opportunity in a fair way for the businesses and communities throughout the state versus one or two large venues that will siphon customers from the other businesses and communities in the state that are in some of the other proposals. Some of you have commented or asked about additional gambling problems. I would like to take a comment that was made by the testifier from Treasure Island in the last bill. I'm not sure this is 100% accurate, but the statement was that there will not be any additional gamblers, was the worry that was being testified to there. I don't think there'll be hardly any additional gamblers at that point, but that was the statement that was made in opposition to bills such as ours. It's very important to note that the machine that you see right here, this VLT, is not a slot machine. Not only isn't it a slot machine, its internal components do not allow it to be converted to a slot machine. And that has been court tested, and you'll see why. And that's because the outcome is determined by a slip of paper in the same way that the existing paper pull tabs are done. This is a finite game with predetermined winners, and the predetermined winners are not done by a random computer like a slot machine. They're predetermined by the paper slips that are in there, exactly like a box of pull tabs are done. Also, according to Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill, these VLTs are only allowed in establishments that already have paper pull tabs. They're not allowed into any new site. This is simply a modernization of the paper pull tab. The closest example to this bill is the Oregon Lottery, which has had VLTs since 1993. And again, some of you asked me about what their history was. I called out to the Oregon Lottery Board and was told to contact the person in charge of their gambling help program and was told the following. Oregon sets an aside amount of money for gambling. I don't know the exact amount. I want to say $10 million, but that could be checked on by calling the Oregon Board. They did say that when they first introduced electronic gambling in the form of a VLT, they did have a slight increase in problem gambling versus when they'd only had paper pull tabs. However, they said that the net effect, because of the gambling mitigation money that was provided, was a slight improvement on their problem gambling situation. I think the most important fact to consider, however, is that in 1993, when these were introduced into Oregon, they had no Native American gambling. This was the first electronic gambling that was there. In Minnesota, we have, I don't know, 18 or 20 casinos at this point, where the youth that are going in there at 18, 19, and 20 will not be allowed into the establishments on Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill. This bill requires you to be 21 years or older. So I'm not really sure whether there's going to be any improved or more gambling that's being done on that. It's more of a modernization, and it's a better way to do it, more efficient-wise. The issue of the money is a difficult topic to discuss. There are a lot of you in the room here that don't want there to be any more money. I can't argue with you on that. I would only suggest that don't let that stop you for voting in favor of this. If you really don't want there to be more money, use it for a rainy day fund. Prepay existing bonding obligations. Eliminate the 2.5% temporary stadium tax that was supposed to sunset 10 years ago. Everyone talks about small business being the engine that drives our economy. You'll help 3,000 small businesses by passing this bill. I'm here for any questions, and Dan Campbell is going to demonstrate the machine that's by me.
Mr. Campbell, why don't you go ahead and demonstrate that, because I'm sure it might draw some questions after you get done with that.
Okay, thank you. Senator Perry, members, my name is Dan Campo. I'm here with the Minnesota Tavern League. I'm going to have to step away from the microphone in order to demonstrate, so I will try and project my voice enough so everybody can hear me.
You can take that microphone off if you would. There you go. Then you can carry it.
I feel like a game show host.
You look just like Dean Martin.
Look, the question really is, and I've heard a lot of things in testimony today about what these machines are or are not and what they do, what they're capable of, things like that. So really what I'm trying to do today is to explain to you in a very simple way video lottery versus what we're doing right now. Now, for example, members will take note, this is a Minnesota State lottery ticket. This is something that you can buy anywhere that the lottery is available. So you hand someone money, they give you a ticket, and you scratch it off. If you're a winner, then you hand it back, And that person then scans the barcode on the back of the ticket, and whatever you've won comes up, and it's registered that way. Now, this machine does exactly the same thing, but electronically, a little bit more. Now, how this machine works, does feel like a game show. All right, how this machine works. Put in a voucher. This machine reads the voucher. At this point, it makes some noise. We hit redeem, and this is exactly, at this point, we're basically looking at the ticket. It'd be the same as scratching it off. Doesn't look like I won. What it does is it ejects something like this. This is the barcode. This is exactly the same thing. I have my other hand here, and it's exactly the same thing we have here, like the lottery. We can do it again. Another one of these codes. Now, what I wanted to show people and to show the difference, I know I have heard people say, yeah, it looks like a slot machine. Yeah, I suppose if we put an outboard on it, we can make it a boat too, but it isn't, and it doesn't have the capacity to do so. Now, I think there's an alarm that's going to go off when I open this, but... See if it'll stay. I might need a little assistance if you can hold on to that. Oh, okay, so pull it out. We talk about these different games and how they can be modified. There's a real simple thing here. We're talking about finite versus infinite gaming. Slot machines have infinite gaming. In other words, if you go and pull the lever, it's real simple. Your odds, if it was 100,000 to 1, when you pull that lever, whatever happens, the next time you pull the lever, it's still 100,000 to 1. What makes pull tabs or the lottery different is that it's pre-printed and your odds are exactly on the number of tickets. What this machine has is a roll of tickets. This machine cannot do any of its own internal processing. It cannot do anything mathematically to change the odds. It can't be adapted because it doesn't have the internal computer components at all in order to become a machine that could do, I heard, blackjack, things like that. What this simply does is it reads this ticket. It displays what's going on, much the same way as if I'm scratching off here, on the screen, and then it tells me whether I've won and lost. So, hey, cool, I think I won again. I would stand for questions on this. I just want to kind of wrap it up at this point with, again, what you're seeing, very, very different than some of the other things or some of the other ideas out there. Once the tickets run out, and by the way, much like you would have if it was a, much like we'd have if you had pull tabs or with lottery, once it becomes low, the lottery then has more of these and they can put another roll in. But it doesn't allow for any type of modification. You can't fool the machine. I'll let Senator Ingebrigtsen continue on.
Any questions at this point, Senator Lilly?
Mr. Chair, sir, could you please demonstrate? I saw the flap is folded down right now, but you put a card in there.
Yes.
It looks like you can also put dollars in there, and I assume you can put a credit card in there. Could you explain the different methods of payment with this machine?
Actually, you cannot put a credit card in. Sorry, Senator, members, you cannot put a credit card in this machine. This machine does have the ability, because this one's a prototype, where it can do it with dollar bills. However, we do it with a voucher. Now, if I, we'll just stop it right now. I'm going to get my cash back out. It will print up another voucher. So much like the lottery, if I had won, it would print another one of these out, and it could then be redeemed. But it doesn't eject money. It doesn't eject quarters. It is simply a voucher, much in the same way as if you won that.
Senator Lilly.
We'll only do
So, Mr. Chair, so if I were to put $100 in there, it would accept $100, number one. Number two, that voucher pays out $8.55, it looked like. What do I do with that voucher?
Mr. Campbell.
At that point, the way I believe it would run is it would be brought to...
it would be brought up to the bartender or a cashier. Because there's only five machines, it will almost invariably be the bartender would be my guess. It's not going to be that big that they're going to have a separate cashier.
The
same way it's
done. The other question,
Senator Lilly.
Mr. Chair, the other question was how much money could I put in at one time? $100, $500, $1,000, $5?
Mr. Campbell.
Good question, Senator. Senator, I believe it allows a credit of up to $20 on this current one. However,
Senator Perry, Senator Lilly, I believe it could be said as to what the legislature wanted. I flew out to see the machine in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, and there you could put a $100 bill in. If the committee or the legislature wanted it to be a $20 bill, I'm sure that could be done also.
Or a dollar, Senator. We could do it that way, too. But the idea also could be if the legislature wanted, you can get the ticket from the bar, so it can allow you to do it that way.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other testifiers? I believe Mr. McCarthy wanted to testify, if he's still here.
Yes, there are a few that are on the list that came in from out of town for our group, Senator Perry.
Do you know how many there are? We're coming up on a time constraint.
I think there's someone from Maple Lake, and let's see who's still here.
Let's take Mr. McCarthy while he's here ready to go.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. Stay here.
Mr. Rocker. Okay. Please state your name for the record.
My name is John McCarthy. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. And I'm here today to oppose Senate File 1116. And the proponents of the bill have chosen to call it label it the video lottery ticket dispensing machine, which indeed, as they've demonstrated, it does do. I testified earlier in regard to the charitable gambling device, and I believe that this device is one of the issues that we're concerned about as to if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck. This machine, as was stated, cannot be converted. Any machine can be converted. This is probably as close to a slot machine as you're going to get. Our previous experience regarding the revenue issues, that the estimates that the proponents are talking about really, we believe, need some serious scrutiny. Regarding the past history where revenue estimates have been laid out, those estimates have been based on some model from somewhere else. 2 years ago, the estimates that were put forward were about half of what the House research folks came up with. So I do believe that that's an issue that that isn't really being addressed very much in this legislation. Our association has a longstanding position that Minnesota has more than enough gambling. If Minnesotans want to gamble, they have ample choices. We believe that the opening a door to many casinos and bars and restaurants like this proposal would do is bad public policy. Make slot machines allowable on every street corner. We are, whether people want to believe it or not, and we're in this industry and understand it very well, we are in a very mature market here in Minnesota. We've expressed our concerns that once the floodgates are open, that Minnesota will change forever. If you look at the various proposals currently being considered, we're looking at four racinos, slots in the bars. This proposal, Block E, that just opened up at a press conference today. They want to turn Minneapolis into Times Square. There's a frenzy for more and more gambling. If gambling was the magic bullet, then why is Las Vegas in such bad shape? They have the highest unemployment rate. There's the highest housing foreclosures. It's in tough shape. So I think that proves that that gambling is not recession-proof. The tribal casinos have all seen a decline in their revenues. So every other state that's gone to gambling for a solution to economic problems has failed. Now, people will tell you, oh, look at Pennsylvania, look at Ohio, look at this, look at that. But what they don't tell you is that they never hit their goal. Did they make money? Yes, they made money. But they never hit their goal. They didn't become the panacea that they were proposing to be. And what they found is that they were no better off after gambling than before. And if anything that they found, they ended up with more problems than they started with. I recently testified, as I mentioned, on the several charitable gambling bills, and we have the same concerns with this device, although with this device our concerns are a little bit more serious. In closing, let me also voice a concern that little or no discussion is being held on the regulation of these devices. Some people would have you believe that they can all be handled by a switch at the lottery office. Well, as an individual who's been involved in the gambling business for 25 years, I can tell you that that is not the case. The tribes spend millions of dollars every year on regulated gambling on their lands. We have all that, we have all those machines linked, and we have them subjected to a master computer, just as they proposed with the VLTs. And on top of that, the machines at tribal casinos are all in one place, not spread all over the state of Minnesota. So I believe serious consideration needs to be given to regulation, who's going to regulate, how they're going to regulate, what the cost of regulation is going to be, because it is a serious issue. And again, a final note, I believe that that the lottery is going to be involved in this particular device. I believe the device required a special permit to be brought into the state. Well, if it isn't a gambling device, then why would we need a special permit? Thank you very
much. Thank you, Mr. McCarthy. Before you go, I know in the last bill there was a question asked by Senator Gazelka, and I believe as a person with the Indian Gaming Association, how many machines were increased in the last 3 to 5 years in Indian gaming?
Three to 5 years?
Yes, sir. Throughout all of the Indian gaming.
This is off the top of my head.
Sure.
I don't carry the figures with me. In the last 3 to 5 years, maybe 1,500 throughout the 18 facilities.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Next testifier.
Mr. Chair, we can't
thank
see
you,
the
Chairman
testifier,
Perry,
so we would like to have
committee.
That machine removed.
Sir, could we have you either move the machine back? I think we've all seen the machine, so you could probably, if you want to pack it up and
am I going to be able to
and move it,
to
you can. All right. Sir, state your name and continue.
Thank you, Chairman Perry. I'm members of the committee. My name is Jerry Pettit. I have the hat on from the American Legion Post 145. I'm the past commander. I'm also the owner of Maple Lake Bowl, which we also have the Pines Bar and Grill in Maple Lake Bowl. We're also in trouble in Maple Lake and in Howard Lake. Our patronage is down. Our customers, the amount of money they're spending is down. And because of that, we've had to lay people off. Hopefully, with gambling, with the electronic pull tab, we would have more people coming into our business so I can hire back the people I've had to let go. Also, having the racinos or the casino without giving every little bar something to go with it also, the 3,200 of us, would be, I feel, unfair. We right now have buses right across the road from my establishment picking people up once a week and taking them out of town to do gambling. None of that money comes back to our community, and we do support. As you heard the vets in the other hearing, we support our local organizations. That's where the money goes. And that's why I feel it'd be better not to have a Racino or casino than to let them be the only ones to have it.
All right, thank you, sir. Do you have any other out-of-town? Because I'm getting pushed up on a time. We have a conference committee ready to move in. Any other out-of-town?
I don't think I have any out-of-town people. I do have a response, and I think Senator Ingebrigtsen does on Mr. McCarthy's comments.
Please do.
Okay. Well, Senator Perry, members of the committee, I guess you could take the Coca-Cola machine up on the second floor and convert it somehow into a slot machine, but that's about the same as it would take to convert that machine. This is a paper dispenser with no computer capacity in it, so I think that's kind of a bad innuendo. The comment that no states have done well, I didn't bring one with me, but any one of you can get the 59-page report from Oregon. Oregon has 69% of the population of Minnesota. They have 9 tribal casinos that are doing well, and they've transferred anywhere between $590 and $720 million a year to their general fund. Anybody that would like to get that report, I will print it out and bring it to you, or you can call the Oregon Lottery Department.
Thank you, sir. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. With regards to the gentleman's from the Indian Gaming comments, you know, folks, this is obviously an issue that has been, I don't think it's been brewing for a while, but it's certainly been talked about for a while, and it's an issue of fairness with me. We all know that some people think that gambling should not be going on at all in the state of Minnesota, and quite frankly, if that were the case, I'd be fine with that as well. However, when I do come to testify, I do come to testify about the facts. I try not to go with fancy sound bites. However, that seems to be what gets coverage. But for somebody to come in here and say that we're going to be putting a machine like this on every street corner in Minnesota, I don't think that's in the bill. I don't think that anybody in this committee would support anything like that. So I just want to be having the members be cautious of both the pro and con, as far as I'm concerned. Just deal with the facts. That's where I come from, is the world of facts, as you know, Mr. Chair, and we'd like to see everybody move forward with this sensibly. I know there's a lot of bills here. There's several bills that are going to be worked on, and I'm certainly willing to work with both sides on this issue, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen.